This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Weird Distractions Podcast. This is a weekly show where I, your host Alex, rotate in discussing true crime cases, paranormal hotspots, eerie folklore tales, urban legends, and conspiracy theories to provide you, and more than likely what your local Renaissance Fair coordinator would consider, a weird distraction from everyday life. This week is a paranormal-based episode, and I am thrilled to say that I am joined by the lovely Linz from Ye Olde Crime. Thank you so much for hopping on, and I'm wondering if you could, introduce yourself on the show for people tuning in for the first time that maybe haven't stumbled upon Ye Olde Crime yet.
For sure. First of all, how dare you? But secondly, Ye Olde Crime is a show where my sister and I each week discuss true crime stories that took place pre-1900. Sometimes we go paranormal. Sometimes we go whimsical, with some of the tales that we cover. But we learn a lot of very interesting things about tales that happened in history that no one really talks about, and we hope you will give us a listen.
Yeah, and you can find Ye Olde Crime wherever you find weird distractions. So when you're done listening to this episode, get on over to Ye Olde Crime and just subscribe. Do all that good stuff. But before you do that, and before we even get into this episode, Lindsay, I'm wondering if you could fill the listeners in on what you need a distraction from this week.
I need a distraction from the chaos that is my life right now.
Okay. Fair.
We got 2 more weeks of school left. There's stuff that needs to get done at my job and with Girl Scouts, because I'm a Girl Scout leader. And, or what do you call them? What do you call them in Canada?
Girl Scout leaders?
What are Girl Scouts in Canada?
Girl Guides.
Girl Guides. I knew it was.
I was I never made it to Girl Guides. I was just, I was in Sparks. And then I dropped out because, can't hold a playa too close to the flames if it gets a drift. Being in Sparks and all. They're like, hey, do you want to light the stern of fire? And I'm like, buddy, and there's a fire inside.
Because, baby, you're a firework. So yeah, distraction from that would be great.
Fair enough. And you know what? I'm going to piggyback on that and say same. For those who have been tuning in since day one or the last couple weeks, y'all know I started a new job. I don't know why I keep picking jobs. I just have no training or very little training. And it's very much I walk in, they're like, oh, great. We've been waiting for you. Just do the work. And I'm like, wait, what? You want me to do what now? Yeah, I need a distraction from the fact that I'm not getting, I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not getting a lot of the training that I feel like I need for the job I'm in.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So that's fun. But now that we've got our distractions out of the way, I say we get into this week's episode.
Yes, please.
Now, originally, Linz had suggested an interesting folklore tale for me to cover based out of Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided, literally a week before we recorded this.
This is true.
This is very true. Pulling back the curtain very much on this process. I basically was like, Linz, would you be upset if I didn't cover this? And I want to cover this, the topic that you suggested on a future Patreon episode. Instead, I'm going to take us to Linz's state of Minnesota to discuss a reportedly haunted motel.
I am here for it.
Yep. So pack your bags, Lindsay. You don't really have to pack much. But you do need to grab snacks.
Okay.
Because, snacks. And don't look under the bed as I tackle the history, the occult observations, and the haunts of the Anderson House Hotel in Wabasha.
Fun fact about Wabasha, that's where they filmed the Grumpy Old Men movies.
We will get to that because there is, I'm really glad you brought that up and we will get to it.
I love those movies so much. They like hit me right in the feel goods.
Due to potential coarse language and adult themes that could be discussed today, listener discretion is advised. As mentioned in the intro, we're heading down to Wabasha, Minnesota. Located about an hour and 30 minutes from the state's capital of St. Paul, this city holds the motto of being, quote, Governor's Fit City. And that's fit, F-I-T.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, like, is everyone just really healthy? But then apparently there's also a sign that reads, Welcome to Wabasha, home of grumpy old men, which stands at the city limits. So I'm wondering if it's like Governor's Fit City in the sense of everybody there is throwing fits.
Fits and the tantrums.
Basically, yeah.
I think that has something to do with our fit cities meet a certain like walkability score or like they're bike friendly. So I think that's probably part of what that is that it just has a distinction of being one of the cities that the governor is like, yeah, this city has a great walkability score, or like there's a lot of bike trails or whatever it is. And that's kind of, that's where my mind went, is that that's probably
right.
What it is.
Well, that's kind of fab, fit, and fun.
Right? They just need to get some Lululemon and they're good.
They just need to get a sponsorship with Lululemon. Lululemon, if you're listening.
Yeah.
That could be a really good marketing deal.
Could you imagine if it was just a bunch of grumpy old men in Lululemon just walking down the street, just like power walking?
Yeah, and just like the tight leggings.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm here for it. Now, the city was reportedly named after the Medawakatun tribe. And according to the Only in Your State website, Wabasha was first plated in 1854, making it one of the oldest towns in the state. So no shit, there's a lot of grumpy old men because there's just a lot of old shit going on there.
It is so old. It is dusty.
It is so old. Have you actually been to the...
I have not. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah.
It's just not... It's never been on my route to anywhere else, but I do want to go sometime. I hear it's very pretty.
Maybe now that I've covered it, we should go.
We'll put it on our list for when you and our friend Em come visit, and we will make a day trip of it.
Perfect. Now, when something is considered the oldest, it's often automatically labeled as being haunted, which today's distraction is no different. Like, you're talking about the oldest place in the state, automatic haunted. Yeah, and you know what? It kind of tracks. Built only 2 years after the town was plated, the Anderson House Hotel, located at 333rd Main Street West, was built by a man named B.F. Hurd. The building was originally referred to as the Hurd House in 1856 and remained in the Hurd family for quite some time. By 1885, under the ownership of B.F.'s son-in-law, the hotel saw some renovations. So the son-in-law came in. He's like, this is great and all, but like, we need to touch it up a bit.
I have some thoughts.
I have a Pinterest board going, and I really would appreciate if you give me the opportunity.
He's got just like, you know, like a little book full of like fabric samples and stuff. And he's like, I think this would look wizard if we use this fabric.
It'd look wizard. I mean, it is 1850s.
This would be darling.
You're smashing. So these renovations included a third story addition, electricity, which like, hello, which was put throughout the entire building. The bathrooms were apparently made more modernized, which I'm assuming that means that they had toilets that could flush.
Yep.
And there was a west wing added in all of this. So I don't know how much was spent, but I'm going to assume it was quite a lot.
Yeah, especially if you are wiring an entire hotel for electricity, that's going to be hefty. But it is going to like reduce your fire insurance so much.
So much. So like you're saving
so much money.
You're saving so much in the long scheme of things.
Your oil prices are going way down.
Way down. Way down. By 1909, the Anderson family purchased the property from the Hurds and renamed the hotel as the Anderson Hotel. So they're like, all right, it's our turn now. This is our home. We're going to name it as such.
Thanks for doing all the hard labor. Yeah. Now that it's beautiful, we're going to take it from here.
Yeah, now that it's beautiful, it's now ours. So bye. The hotel and the Anderson family would be known for their Dutch cooking, with the family reportedly releasing a cookbook with over 500 Dutch recipes in 1948.
Damn.
That's a lot of Dutch recipes. That's a lot of Dutch babies.
Oh, man. Do they use Dutch ovens to make half of those recipes?
I would hope so, because if not, I feel like that's a crime.
I do, too. How else are you making them?
Exactly.
And if there aren't, like, 10 different ways to make pannenkoeken, then get out of here.
Like, yeah, then are you even a Dutch hotel?
Yeah, are you even Dutch?
I'd like to see your birth certificates, thank you.
Show me your papers.
Taken out of context, that would be really bad.
That would be so bad.
In today's climate. So the hotel was also famous for allowing cats to stay in the building, which...
Living mousers. Like,
yeah.
I love
it. Especially in the early 1900s. I can't imagine mice weren't ever a problem.
Yeah. Well, and especially in the winter, too. Like, you're going to have critters going in and out of that house all the time.
All the damn time. And numerous resources noted that the owners would have their own cats roam around the building, which patrons could cuddle up to while they stayed over. And in a quote from the Wisconsin State Journal, the hotel features a cat dormitory, complete with viewing windows so you can choose your roommate for the night. Even though this unique pet offering is referred to as Rent-A-Cat, the service is free.
And I love that you can pick your, like, feline companion when you're staying there.
Yeah. And you can bring your own cat, too. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. Honestly, Linz, like, I do really want to cover the case you suggested, but as soon as I landed on this, I'm like, this was meant to be. Like, the stars could not align any more perfectly.
This is great. We haven't even gotten anywhere yet, and this is already great.
Apparently, one of the inn's cats was featured in a 1997 children's book called Lumpo the Grumpo Meets Arnold the Cat. And for those wondering, dogs were not encouraged to come to the hotel for perhaps obvious reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... You could, but it was like, your dog's not probably going to have the best time.
Yeah.
Plus, you're scaring the cats and the kids.
The cats and the kids. Can't scare those cats and kids.
Absolutely not. The Andersons would eventually sell the hotel to a woman and son duo, being Jean and John Hall. The sale took place in around 1976, and by 1978, the Anderson House was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, winning national attention and awards. So she was in her prime. They're like, wow, this is an old building. It's great. It's beautiful. Let's give it a show, I guess.
You win a major award.
Yeah. Now, things get a little sad. After Jean's death, John Hall continued running the hotel until 2001, when he sold it outside of the family. As we both know, not every amazing thing can survive the tribulations of time or an economic crisis. So, according to good old Wikipedia, the hotel closed for business on March 19th of 2009 as a result of economic downturn and lack of business. The owners at the time, Teresa and Mike Smith, had reportedly been trying to sell the inn for 3 years prior to its actual closure. And I mean, like, I think the crisis was, what, 2008?
Yeah.
So maybe they saw kind of the writing on the wall and they're like,
Well, and it's such a small town, too, that, like, I'm sure it wasn't a place that a lot of people were like, hey, let's go stay there, you know?
Yeah, like, you and I want to go there, and we'll drag Emily to go there, but it's not like we're going to go there every year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, who knows? We'll see, but...
Maybe we'll go there and we'll never leave.
We'll never leave.
I'll become one of the cats that you can rent.
This is our adoption story. We're entering our orphan era.
This is the start of my dodo story.
Love it. Last, the hotel would be purchased in 2011, so it's not all, you know, rainstorms and clouds, by a local couple named Brian and Rachel Yenter. According to one article, the couple closed in on the purchase in November of 2011, just in time for the holiday season.
Ooh.
The Yenters, at the point of sale, noted that they planned to divide the bottom floor of the original hotel and make it into a museum and a retail space. So they're like, hey, capitalism, it's making the world turn. We're going to make this, I don't know, tire spin, basically.
Yeah. That makes sense me. Like,
yeah.
Especially if you got all that history, showcase it, baby. People love history.
Yeah. And if you have that space too, fuck, why not, right? Like, unless you're going to make it into rooms.
Yeah. And people like to buy stuff. Win-win.
Fun fact. Win-win. Winner-winner. Chicken dinner.
feed some to your kitties.
So the upstairs would still function as a hotel where minor renovations would happen in order to keep the hotel's classic charm. And a quote from a Winona Daily News article, rooms in the Anderson House are expected to be available by reservation as early as January 1st of 2012. Yenter said the 23 rooms were functional when the hotel was closed for lack of business in 2009, so little work needs to be done.
Nice.
Unfortunately,
uh-oh,
hate to break the bad news, the new owners would not offer cats as companions to those visiting.
Oh my God.
I know.
All my hopes and dreams.
Look, I can live without the Dutch babies. I can live without a lot. But the fact that they don't have cats anymore, like we're still going to go visit this place.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put up a stink when we get there. I'm gonna be like, hey, I heard this place used to have cats. Bring it back.
Yeah. Even if it's just some of those, like, for real cats.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll just bring one. I won't put up a stink. I'll just come in and bring my fake cat toy and just, like, abundantly show and be like, hey, this, you need to bring this back, but real life, okay?
This is coming with me. It's not alive.
No.
And it's also not taxidermied because I am not that creepy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine I just roll up with, like, a cat carrier with, like, a stuffed cat inside, like some kind of creepy weirdo?
Can I have a room, please?
I can, but not you, but just in general. Like, I can imagine this is a thing. Honestly, to be a motel / hotel business owner, you see a lot of shit. And I feel like taxidermy is not even the craziest.
I'm sure.
If you're not heartbroken over that news and you still want to book a stay at the hotel from, let's say, June 8th to 10th, 2023, you can book a queen suite for $209 a night. And that room includes a jacuzzi, and that's $209 USD.
That is a great deal. That is a steal. For a jacuzzi in the room?
For a jacuzzi in the room.
I'd do it.
I'd do it right now. Actually, you know what?
I'm going to book it right now. Good luck. You're not getting it.
I will fight you over this room with my bare hands.
I'll fight you with Gladys, my taxidermy cat.
And you know what? She's got a punch.
She's a biter and a fighter.
She's a biter. Well, I want Gladys to be the official icon for this hotel now. We need Anderson House Hotel to get a taxidermied cat and name it Gladys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's only right at this point.
Yep.
Anyways, based on the hotel's semi-unfinished website, which, no shade, websites are stressful. It seems like they may open up a restaurant and a speakeasy on site, or at least associated with the property. And speaking of booking a stay at the hotel, let's dive into some occult observations before getting our spooky on with some of the paranormal reports.
Yes, yes.
So if you're new to the show, Occult Observations is where I read the good, the bad, and the downright weird reviews of the locations discussed on the show. Typically, I read 2 negative and 2 positive reviews, just so we get an equal hand at both the good and the bad and whatever kind of weirdness is mixed in between.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact, this segment's name was actually produced by you, Lindsay.
It was you.
Because I wanted to do this, and I was like, I don't know the fuck to name this. You're like, what about occult observations? I was like, bingo.
I love
that. That's the ticket.
I love a good alliteration.
I love it. And I love you, and I appreciate you for this. So I'll kick us off with 2 negative reviews so we can end things on a more positive note before we get into the weird, spooky stuff.
Sounds good to me.
So the first negative review, it's by user Jamie Lee Curtis. No, I'm kidding.
I didn't have any Activia on site.
I was clogged for days.
How am I going to stay regular?
I can't.
And not bring a cat? One star.
Velocity.
One star. One star.
The user's name is Lee Curtis. No potential relation. I can't confirm or deny that. Lee Curtis posted this on Google Reviews back in 2022, and they left a 1 out of 5 star rating. The review reads, stay 2 nights, March 12th and 13th, 2022. The facility is run as an Airbnb from my experience. Keypad entrance locks and keypad room locks. That is fine, but help me out with a code of conduct sheet. Tell me who to call to help or where is the ice machine. If you don't have an ice machine, don't set out ice buckets. You are literally on your own to stay in a 170-year-old building with 1 roll of toilet paper. Please tell me where I can find an additional roll if needed. Poor housekeeping. I'm 66 years old and have traveled everywhere. This was the strangest stay I've ever encountered. Obviously, obviously, I have a lot of patience to put up with this over two nights, but I kept hoping it would get better. Thank God I spent a majority of my time away. Very disappointed. End of observation.
Oh my God. Was it one of the grumpy old men that stayed there?
They ran out of toilet paper. I couldn't even find any ice.
What? Don't put out an ice bucket if you're not going to tell me where the ice is.
Don't even include an ice bucket if you're not going to include any ice.
The funny thing is, like, so when I look for reviews, like, I do read them. But then by the time I'm actually recording them, I kind of forget what the review is actually about. The next and last angry review is from user Nancy S. They post this in October of 2022 on TripAdvisor. They left 1 out of 5 stars. And their occult observation reads, "No staff at the hotel. Difficulty getting through to someone to talk to. I was told our room was on the first floor, assuming we would not need to climb stairs, but the first floor is up a flight of dark and steep steps that were difficult to navigate. Our room was extremely hot and uncomfortable. There was no staff on the premises, which made it seem unwelcoming. Our Amex card was charged for the room even before we arrived.
Ooh, that's kind of shady.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
It was a very unpleasant place, and we ended up not staying the night. Ooh. We were not offered a refund when we decided not to stay. The only parking is on the street. It was not anything like we had hoped it would be. End of a cold observation.
Aw.
Yeah. Not great. Not great. But now on to the positive.
See, that's the low bar, and now
that's
we can only go high from here.
We can only get higher. So the first positive observation is from user Bella Trehe on Google Reviews. They posted this about 8 months ago and they left 5 out of 5 stars. The occult observation reads, "I didn't stay the night here, but my family and I decided to walk in just to peek. They have a beautiful bakery.
Nice.
And the lady who collects rocks that was behind the counter went out of her way to show us around."
Collects rocks?
A woman after my own heart. I also collect rocks.
I too love rocks.
Rocks are great.
Rocks agree.
They're the gateway drug to crystals.
They don't tell you that. And then you're in it. And you're like, oh no.
I should have seen the sign.
Oh, okay. The occult observation continues. "I really appreciate the hospitality and all of the facts they had to offer about the hotel. At the owners, you need to get those cats back in here. This is a dog friendly city and I am a cat person. Please bring the cats back into this hotel." End of occult observation.
Bella's with us. Bella's like, bring back the cats.
Bring back the cats. If there's anything from this, bring back the cats.
Where's the change.org petition that I need to sign to bring back these cats?
Do it now. Okay. Last occult observation, and of course, last positive occult observation, I guess I should say, from user Michelle Fate on Google Reviews. This was back in 2022. They left 5 out of 5 stars, and the occult observation reads, "Absolutely beautiful and stunning. I can't wait to go back. I think we heard some other visitors. The best part." End of observation. Which, the last observation makes me think that perhaps Michelle heard some paranormal visitors. Either that or some loud ass neighbors. Like, just somebody having a party.
I was immediately triggered to a work event that I had to go to recently where the people above me were very loudly having sex at, like, 5 a.m. and woke me up. And I was like, those...
5 a.m?
Right?
Ew.
What kind of psychopath gets up at 5 a.m. to bump uglies?
That's serial killer behavior.
God. And it was 2 nights in a row. The second day I clapped when they were done. It was very loud and very obvious when they had finished.
Oh, see, no.
So
listen,
if that was the kind of neighbor she had and she was into it, great. But
cool.
I'm hoping was more of a paranormal thing in nature than a
bump in the night as opposed to multiple bumps in the night.
As opposed to, to all the bumps in the night.
Or at 5 a.m. like some psychopaths out there.
Seriously, who hurt you as a child where you're like 5 a.m?
6 a.m.
I'm ready to go. Nah, no. Get into the paranormal report. Let's
do it.
I I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think the Anderson House Hotel has fallen victim to the old building automatically haunted narrative, which I kind of introduced in the beginning mm-hmm. of this episode. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think some locations will get that kind of stamp of like automatically haunted, but then they'll live up to that reputation. Whereas,
yep.
I don't know, Anderson House, it's one of those places I feel like I need to go to know, but it doesn't, in comparison to other places I've talked about on the show, probably places that you know about and you've talked about on Yield Crime, it's not as intense, so to speak.
Sure.
I came across a couple of articles naming this location as one of the most haunted places in the entire state of Minnesota, with mentions of the site having a dark past, but not a lot of details associated with the hotel specifically. So I remember one of the resources was like, oh my gosh, like this place has such a dark history and there were so many awful things that happened, but then no information. The biggest report from both employees and guests is random cold spots. And according to the Farmer's Almanac website, cold spots are areas where the temperature appears to be much lower than the surrounding air. Perhaps extreme, but imagine being in a sauna and in one section of the room, it feels like it's cold enough to snow. I know it's extreme, but that's kind of like the severity of what a cold spot should feel like if it's paranormal related. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So these cold spots are said to be a sign of paranormal visitors, with a common theory being that ghosts leech thermal energy from the air in order to manifest themselves in our world. So if you're in a reportedly haunted hotspot and, you know, the temperature for the most part is pretty normal, but then all of a sudden it drops, people think that that's because the spirit is trying to manifest with the temperature, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Another spooky happening reportedly taking place at the hotel is that objects are reportedly moving around on their own accord. So what will happen is they go in the room, they'll drop their stuff off, they'll realize that they can't find the ice machine and that there's no toilet paper. They'll leave in a frenzy to go to the local hotel and they come back and their shit has moved all around. I don't know, the hairbrush that they left on the bed is now in the bathroom. That kind of
ghost cats. If it was just like knocked off the counter, ghost cats.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
If it's 1,000%.
Like, was on the corner of like your nightstand and it's on the floor when you get back, ghost cats.
Yep.
From the North Shore Paranormal YouTube episode covering the location, which as far as I could find online, this was the only paranormal group that has investigated the Anderson House Hotel. I don't want to say it's for fact like the only one, but that's the only one I could find online.
Sure.
If any other paranormal group has gone there, let me know and I can make that correction in a future episode. But anyways, in their episode, which you can watch on YouTube, it was shared that guests of the hotel would come back to the rooms and notice these items were like moved around and all over the place. They also mentioned that various EVPs have been reportedly captured at the hotel. There have been claims of disembodied voices being heard around the hotel, in which the Via Travels website indicated specifically in their write-up, quote, disembodied voices can be heard from time to time, with some guests even reporting the presence of spirits in their rooms, end quote. It's very vague.
It is very vague. Because
yeah.
You got to think, too, if it's a really old building, like old buildings make noises.
Oh, yeah.
So when people say like, oh, the house was settling, houses do that. Like, especially if they're super old. In hot and cold, like the boards move and things like that. So without someone being like, I saw a ghost, it's hard to be like, yeah, it actually was a ghost. It could have just been some random noise or like the pipes or who knows what it could have been. But
well, that and because it was built in the 1800s, I'm assuming the walls are probably fairly thin. So, like, you could hear what you think is a disembodied voice. I'm kind of catching myself here because I don't want to discredit anyone's experience. But in the same sense, you could hear someone's voice and you think you could be the only person in the hotel. But in reality, like, you're hearing someone from outside or, I don't know, there might be someone in the hotel. Like, half the time I go to a hotel, I don't know how many people are there because, A, I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
And B, unless they're in the rooms beside me, it's like, I'm not going to notice.
Yeah. Yeah. And who is to say, like you said, maybe somebody comes in after you were already in bed and then you hear them talking. But again, I mean, it's also entirely possible that it's just that something's there and just
no one has documented any sort of reason why something would be there.
Exactly. Now, people have also allegedly witnessed orbs hovering around the hotel, which is a common paranormal phenomenon, it seems, for most of the places discussed here on the show. Like, I feel like orbs, disembodied voices, and footsteps are pretty much like the common three that you get. One lore associated with the hotel, which hasn't been fully fact-checked from my understanding, is a tale of a woman named Sarah. Now, a long time ago, there was once a guest named Sarah at the hotel. No last name, just Sarah. Her name was just Sarah.
She was plain and tall. Just kidding. I don't know.
She was plain and tall. She was no Jamie Lee Curtis.
Although she did love yogurt.
She did love yogurt. And from time to time, she was in the bathroom for long periods.
A considerable period of time.
So Sarah was once allegedly a guest at the Anderson House Hotel, and Sarah would allegedly die by suicide at the hotel after being under the impression that the love of her life died in a steamboat accident. It turns out that the love of her life was not on the steamboat, and now Sarah's soul is stuck in limbo because she is not at rest, because I guess somehow after she died, she was notified like, hey, by the way, Craig, yeah, he's still alive. And she's like, fuck, now I can't
Why
rest.
Why does that sound familiar?
Because it's at every location.
Why does that story sound... Yeah, there's always some, like...
There's always...
Oh, he was supposed to be on the train and he didn't show up. Or, yeah, the steamship came in and he wasn't on it. And
he was on the Titanic and we all know how that went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it always Sarah?
It's Sarah or, like, a lady in white or a lady in red. It's never a dude in capris who is waiting for his boyfriend to come back from Spain. You know what I mean? Like, I would just love some diversity in these folklore tales.
Gentleman named John.
Gentleman
he's got
named,
a pencil mustache, fancy dresser, just really wanted to go to the speakeasy. And
then something happened. That's all we need. Or even just like someone that's, I don't know, in like a Juicy Couture tracksuit. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about ghosts from the 80s or 90s. It's an older ghost whose love died on a steamboat back in 1902, you know?
Back on the Jungle Cruise. You know, the one at Disney.
I want that as a ghost story so badly. That's all I need. I just need something. I need a millennial ghost.
That's the 1990s Sharon, who was wearing like a neon tracksuit with like a fanny pack. She had the crimped hair.
Oh,
and
with
she
the beads,
wore
with
all
the beads in the hair.
With the beads, and she had like the beads. All of the glitter eyeshadow. And her boyfriend, Connor, was on the Jungle Cruise ride at Disney World. And he got a little too excited when the hippo jumped out of the water and he fell overboard. He got mangled in some animatronic stuff. And she happened to be at the Anderson Hotel at the time and was just like, I caught her, and something happened to her.
And now she belongs to the second floor. Yes. Let's bring that lore.
All the batteries leech out of your Walkman when you're on the second floor.
Your phone starts like shaking around. They're like, what is this?
I Saw the Sign by Ace of Base just randomly starts playing.
Oh, and suddenly every time you're in that room, you get like a hankering for, what was it? Purple ketchup? Purple ketchup? Did they have that in the States? Purple and green ketchup.
Heinz purple ketchup. Yep.
And Twinkies.
Or some Dunkaroos.
Oh, fuck me.
Some of the zebra stripe gum.
Yes. Oh, okay, I'm getting hungry. We need to.
Sorry. That's my 90s ghost. So
we need to write the story about Sharon. TM, 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 because it's ours. And then we need a snack. We need to get the 90s snacks while we write the story about Sharon. Great.
Yeah.
So people have reportedly witnessed this Sarah lady as a full body apparition wandering the halls of the Anderson House Hotel. And one thing I did want to point out just regarding the hotel in general and why it might be as allegedly haunted as it claimed or as people claim it to be. The YouTube video by North Shore Paranormal, they indicated that the hotel sits across the street from the Mississippi River. Now, for any paranormal fanatics out there, you might be having an oh snap moment.
Because
many believers in the paranormal theorize that water acts as a conduit or some kind of portal to the spiritual realm. It makes me wonder if due to the hotel's location to the Mississippi River, which I feel like is a pretty iconic river in the States.
Yep. It's one of our biggest rivers, most iconic rivers.
Yeah. So I feel because of how close the hotel is to the Mississippi River, maybe the haunts that are being reported and that are happening are being kind of amplified, so to speak.
Sure.
The YouTube video by North Shore Paranormal also mentioned that the hotel is near some railroad tracks, which apparently this also considered a conduit. I haven't personally heard of that as much as the water theory, and I'm not dismissing it by any means. I'm sure everything could be a conduit if you just give it a second.
Yeah.
It's like, I can make this a panic room if you just give me a fucking note, right?
Just calm down.
I'm sure train tracks, especially if, you know, something traumatizing happened nearby, and it's all just a battery.
Well, and, you know, anywhere there's old-timey trains, someone died. Somehow, in some horrible way. It is entirely possible that if the train tracks are in close proximity to the Anderson Hotel, that they wandered over, you know, like I can see that. I can see how. Yeah. And with the water, too, the same sort of thing. Like, it's just amplifying whatever may be lingering nearby.
Exactly. And I did want to shout out the North Shore Paranormal YouTube video again, because their investigation seemed to get some good evidence that I didn't really come across in any other resource. So, for example, they had some hits on their REM pod, which, as a reminder, a REM pod is a piece of ghost hunting equipment that alerts paranormal investigators to changes in ambient temperature. The group from North Shore Paranormal also experienced physical effects. So one of them actually had like a really severe headache and a ringing in their ear, and they only started feeling better once they left the hotel. I mean, it could be the hotel, it could be physically the hotel itself. Like, I'm not saying there's like black mold or anything in there, but it could be the hotel, or it could be something, you know, or it could be the person themselves. But I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Right. They also experienced something interacting with a flashlight, which was seemingly responding to a conversation being had with the investigators, and captured a phantom moan in the hallway that they picked up on camera. So footsteps were also picked up on video, and one of the hotel security cameras reportedly kind of went out during their investigation, which was weird. Like, you could hear the hotel staff saying how bizarre it was. And then they're like, oh, are you doing like a paranormal investigation? And they're like, yeah. And the staff was like, well, you're in the right place. Here we go.
You did this.
And I was like, you did this.
They just like point at the screen. This was you. Thank you.
Speaking of footsteps, it's about time to walk away and wrap up this week's Weird Distraction. So, Linz, how haunted do you think the Anderson House Hotel is on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being, I would host a kid's birthday party with no concern in this hotel, to 10 being, you would have to let me in this hotel with a priest and a nun and whatever religious body that could protect me from evil?
I'm going to say like a 3. It doesn't sound like there was no horrible things that happened, no fires, no cataclysm, pun intended, nothing crazy that would lead me to believe that anything bad happened there. It just seems like it'd be a place that would be cool to visit if it's based off how old it is, but I doubt I would experience anything paranormal should I go there.
Yeah. And, you know, us saying that it's not as haunted as it sounds, that's not to discredit anyone that's reported these haunts.
For sure.
But it's just to say that in comparison to other reportedly haunted places across, especially the United States, there's not a lot of visual or audio evidence that has been shared online for the masses. And yeah, I haven't seen many people investigate this location, which I thought was weird, because it's, you know, every list I came across when I was looking for somewhere haunted to cover in Minnesota, it was listed, which would make me think that there's a lot to back it up. But unless I just wasn't looking in the right places, there wasn't a lot posted.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then maybe there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about in some sort of like archives somewhere in old newspapers or something, that just it hasn't been digitized and it's not online, or, you know, it's entirely possible that something horrible did happen there and we just don't know. Yeah.
But based, like you said, based off what you were able to find, it doesn't seem like it'd be a place that's too spooky.
Yeah. Do you want to hit it up? Do you want to check in?
I think we should hit it up, if nothing else, just to go to the town of grumpy old men.
I think Wabasha sounds beautiful. And I would like to pretend I'm fit and walk around it, even though I know dead well I'm going to ask for us to go to like a... I guess that's in Pennsylvania. I was going to say a Sheetz, but that's Pennsylvania.
That's Pennsylvania.
Is there Sheetz in Minnesota?
No. I will find something that is comparable. Not as cool, but is comparable.
If there's a Dunkin', I'm fine.
I'm sure there's some sort of lovely coffee shop in Wabasha that we can hit up.
Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you for hopping on this episode. Thank you for letting me change the topic of this episode.
No problem.
You literally were like, hey, you should cover this. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll do it. Like, let's push it in. Let's do it. And then last week I was like, hey, I hope you're not emotionally attached to that topic because I don't want to cover it right now. I want to cover it later on Patreon.
I do that so many times on my show. I'll like look at my, like what my next topic is and I'll be like, I'm not feeling that. I'm going to do something else, you know?
Yeah. And for patrons of Weird Distractions, and I'm going to say of Yield Crime too, you know, that's just something to look forward to down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to say when because we haven't booked it yet, but just know it's on the horizon.
And it's going to be honking scary. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a clue.
That is a clue. And it'll also be a callback at some point when you hear the episode. You'll be like,
Oh,
it's a callback from
Easter
the future.
Egg. Yep. Can you tell listeners of Yield Crime? What show am I even doing? Oh, Weird Distractions. Did you let listeners of Weird Distractions know? Again, more about Yield Crime, where they can find you, and where they can follow along online so that they can maybe tune into a future Instagram live show.
Sure.
Because that was fun. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was insane. I was so sweaty by the end of it. But yeah, so you can find Yield Crime pretty much wherever you are currently listening to Weird Distractions. You can visit our website, which is Ye Old, and that's old with an E at the end, crimepodcast.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Yield Crime Podcast. We're on Twitter at Yield Crime Pod. We're on the TikToks at Yield Crime Podcast. And yeah, you should just come give us a listen. We don't take ourselves too seriously. So
no, and no one should.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we're all on a floating rock and we're here talking about ghosts and stuff. So live, laugh, be weird about it, you know?
It's okay to laugh about it.
It's okay to laugh about it. And I just want to thank everyone who's tuned in this week. Make sure you let me know your thoughts on today's topic over on the podcast social media accounts, or feel free to shoot me an email. If you've enjoyed today's Weird Distractions episode, please consider telling your friends, family, coworkers, or anyone else who will listen about the show. You can tell them to find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, and many more. If you're streaming Weird Distractions or any podcast on a podcast platform that allows you to leave a rating or review, please consider leaving a rating or review because that is the best way and the cheapest way, because it's free, to support your favorite podcasts. Another way to support the show for free and to never miss an episode is to follow along on the show's various social media accounts. You can find Weird Distractions over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My handle is @WeirdDistractI1 and on TikTok. Do you want to financially support the show and get yourself a little something extra each month? Why not join one of two tiers over on the Weird Distractions Patreon? Each month, you get exclusive content, such as bonus episodes and bonus series, such as the Even Weirder series, the Weird Destinations travel posts, plus early and ad-free access to regular feed episodes. You can find out which tier is best suited for you by going to www.patreon.com/weirddistractionspodcast. Shout out to my current patrons, aka my weird little family members, Tom, Bailey, Angela, John, Alicia, Lynn, Susan, Jennifer, Shadow, Courtney, and Cheryl. I love you and appreciate your support so much. Without you, Weird Distractions may not be what it is today. Lastly, I want to hear from you. I would love to collect your stories of paranormal encounters, too close to home true crime cases, maybe even some weird MLM
experiences or maybe just in general weird things that you've encountered so that I can continue to release the Listener Distractions series. And you might be tuning in for the first time and you might not know what I'm talking about. This is a series that Christy and I originally started where we would read your personal experiences on air. If you have a story you want to share, please email me at weirddistractionspodcast@outlook.com. As well, send me feedback. If there are any corrections needed to be made after today's episode, please let me know. And as always, if you need a distraction, I got you. Bye.